This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we have Chapter 80 of The Star Seeds of Earth on the way today, as Alibi Jones comes back to reality after altering himself using the star seed substance. So now, he's got to face Hap, his half-brother, mind to mind. That telepathic showdown looms. No telling what else is in store. As Hap comes aboard the Hornet's Nest to wreak havoc? We'll find out. It's coming up in Chapter 80, another nice long chapter on the way on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, before we get into the chapter, this week I have big book news. I was announcing it yesterday, talking about the big Vatican Assassin 15th anniversary editions. There is going to be a new print edition. Federico Guillen is doing the cover, working on it right now. And he's going to do 10 interior illustrations. So this will be a new illustrated 15th anniversary edition in print. There will also be a new audiobook version. I'm redoing the audiobook. And I've invited some of my friends from the world of podcasting, narration, voice acting, and writing to join me for cameos as part of the book. So people will be playing, in effect, different roles. We've got Scott Sigler, and Starla Hutchinson, Veronica Jaguar, Keith Hughes, Paulie Cooley, John Moreau, Dave Robeson. Pretty psyched to be telling you about it. It's starting to come together right now. And I am tuning up the text just a tiny bit. I just want to be sure it's consistent and continuity matches up with stuff that comes a little bit later on. I noticed a couple things that were just a little off, so I wanted to fix them. But nothing major. This is my first baby. I just wanted to bring it back out there again. There are details at glowinthedarkradio.com. Not a lot yet. Be doing a cover reveal coming up in October. And that's when I'll be revealing who is doing whom as far as characters go. So that's coming up as well. Of course, if you're a patron of mine, you find out some of this stuff early. Like, I've already told my patrons who Scott Sigler and Starla Hutchinson are going to be because they've gotten their audio back to me. So as people get their audio back to me, I'll let patrons know who's doing who. And then, because everybody's getting them back by the end of September, I will let everyone know in early October what to expect. But many thanks to my friends who are doing this and becoming a part of this brand new audiobook. Vatican Assassin turning 15 this November, and I'm celebrating with two brand new editions. And that's it for news. Up next, we'll get into Chapter 80 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 80 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi appeared in the doorway of the control room. Emily looked for any signs of weirdness. Then she laughed at herself. After all, it would be weird if Alibi wasn't being weird. "You do it?" she asked. "I do love her directness." "I did it." "How do you feel?" "A little strange," Alibi said. "Kind of weird around the edges." "So what else is new?" she said. She smiled. "It wasn't as mind-blowing as I thought it would be," he said. "I know it has changed me, but I think it's going to be a learning process, you know? Figuring out what I can do." "So you're not gonna start stomping around killing people with your brain?" "You thought I might?" he asked. "Possibility crossed my mind," she said. "I had guards outside your office, just in case." "You did?" he asked. "I didn't see them there." "I did," she said. "You've said that's what he wants to do." Emily nodded over at a display showing a visual of the Stinger ship. As it drifted, at a distance, asteroids tumbling by, partially eclipsing their view. "Bringing us back to the subject at hand." "I sense them. There are three of them out there," Alibi told her. "The other two aren't as powerful as Hap, but I'm sure they're still dangerous. There's someone else there, too, but strangest thing, I can feel them not being there, if that makes any sense. Whoever it is must have some kind of tech that blocks or shields mental energies, I figure. Makes them invisible to me." "The invisible man?" Emily said. "Or woman?" She looked at the display, then back to Alibi. "What do you suppose they're waiting for out there?" she asked. "Reinforcements?" "I'm not sure they need any help," Alibi said. He frowned. "So you didn't sense that, what they're doing?" she asked. "The knowledge base informed me that I shouldn't concentrate on Hap, because he could attack us if he became aware of us," Alibi said. "The knowledge base?" Emily asked. "So, you got into the Starseed's library, or whatever it is?" "Knowledge base," Alibi said. "KB for short." "I did. It helped me adapt to my changes." "And it warned you against concentrating on Hap?" Alibi thought back to the distant unraveler. The chaos. The no. "It did," Alibi said. "Warned me against focusing on any malevolent power like that, in the expansion state. I guess you're most vulnerable then." "And I should have listened better. Ah well, first things first. Cthulhu or whatever it is can wait." "Probably because you're so open," Emily said. "That makes sense." She looked at the display again, and back. "So, there are three of them?" "Yeah." "Maybe there should be three of us," Emily said.
"Oh, no, 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 no."
"You think so?" Alibi said. Before she could respond, the light shifted to red. Alarm klaxons began sounding. Emily moved into action. "They're coming in," she called out, as she scrambled for her station. Alibi stepped back out of the way to gather his thoughts. On the visual display in front of him, the Stinger ship approached the Hornet's Nest, growing larger, engines glowing in back, throwing splashes of light against the rocks arrayed behind them. Alibi reached for the comm and called up the squad of ships deflecting the rocks outside. "Hey, pilots, it's Alibi. That Stinger ship is coming in. I want everyone to stay out of its path, okay? Concentrate on keeping the rocks away from the nest. I don't want you getting in the way of that ship. You hear me?"
"Yes, yep, roger that."
"Gotcha,
mm-hmm,"
the replies came back.
"Alibi, they're right here," Hector said.
"So just be relaxed and groovy and sort of ease on out of there, Hector," Alibi said. "Pretend you don't notice them."
"How?"
"I don't know," Alibi said. "Fly casual?"
"Gotcha."
Alibi hoped Hector could get the Libra Campista out of the way of Hap and that Stinger ship.
"Where are they heading?" Alibi asked the room.
"Toward what airlock?"
"Port side aft. 5 levels down from here," the woman on his left said. "Sublevel 4.
Alibi turned and headed out of the control room.
"Okay, KB. How do I defend against Hap and his 2 friends?"
"You are not trained in defense. You cannot."
"Unacceptable answer."
"Your mind is not yet prepared to assimilate symbolic knowledge. Any attempt at an overlay is doomed to failure, and could cause you lasting damage."
"An overlay?"
"Symbolic knowledge arrives in the mind as a sort of overlay. You will be awash in a sea of new knowledge in an instant. Without the proper preparation, it can unmoor you."
"What about my gift? The hierarchical structure you say I already possess. Will that help?"
"Perhaps."
"Good. Then give me the overlay that teaches me how to defend myself and others from people like Hap."
"Brace yourself, Alibi Jones."
Alibi wasn't sure what to expect. A sudden, brain-splitting migraine headache seized his mind. He sank to his knees in the corridor. Vertigo washed over and through him. Alibi reached out to steady himself and found he was now on all 4s, on the floor. His stomach heaved. It was empty, but he tasted bile at the back of his throat.
"What a sight you are," a voice said.
"Not just any voice. I know that voice. How can he be on board already?"
"I'm not there yet," Hap said. "But I can see you. I just went looking for you, brother, and there you were, doubled over and puking. It's a good look for you. Stay like that so you can grovel to me when I come on board, hmm?"
"Fuck you, Hap."
"I heard that."
Alibi felt something. A slight pressure, squeezing in on his temples. Strange.
Stranger still, Alibi's head began to clear. The pressure remained, but the migraine began to fade, like a miracle.
"Hey," Hap said. "How did you do that? No one's been able to stop me."
"Shut up, Hap." Silence.
"He is out now. Well done. You learn quickly. The structure, the gift, seems to have helped your assimilation, once pressed into service."
Alibi pushed up onto his knees. Using his arms to steady himself against the corridor wall, he got back on his feet.
"That sucked."
"Which? The overlay or the intrusion?"
"Both, I guess. I'm glad to have the overlay. But that did pack a punch. I thought it broke my brain for a second."
"You were warned. I know, I know." And he did know, now, as if he'd been in training. How to shield his mind, how to shield others, and how to trap another mind inside of its own small personal shield.
That will come in handy.
"It will not hold everyone."
"Noted. I'm good for now, KB."
"Understood. KB off." Alibi pinched the bridge of his nose for a moment and then rubbed his eyes and temples, trying to ease some of the lingering pressure.
"That is going to take some getting used to. It's hard to focus on my real surroundings when I'm talking to someone in my head, so to speak."
Alibi, you there? Emily said,
on the comm, in his ear. In my ear? Not in my head. But I suppose it's not so different.
Right here, Emily, Alibi said. They made a direct line in, she said. The Stinger ship is sidling up to that airlock next to you right now.
What are you doing?
Working on shielding us from him, Alibi said. Them, she said. You said there were three. Did you think of a defense?
Not exactly, Alibi said. I was taking in a defensive download from the knowledge base to ready myself to face Hap.
Oh, she said.
Well, that stalled her, for the moment. Not sure anyone else should try doing this kind of alteration. Don't know yet what it's done to me. Not entirely.
So, you think you're ready? She asked.
Oh no, not at all, Alibi said.
I should send a security squad to back you up, she said.
No, don't, Alibi said.
They'll just get in the way and get hurt. More people I'd have to try to protect. Please don't.
Okay, Emily said.
They've locked onto our airlock, Alibi. They're coming through now.
KB?
Alibi?
Stay with me, but on silent. Unless you spot something I can do to gain an advantage, tell me that.
Alibi stood waiting in the middle of the corridor, hands in his pockets, trying to look nonchalant, while his heart nearly beat through his chest, held in by the knots his stomach was tying.
Shields up, double doors to begin.
A short man led the way, shorter than Alibi anyway, dressed in what passed for a business suit these days, and wearing some kind of circlet or small crown on his head.
The Invisible Man.
Greater Ta Technology. They do not usually loan it out. He must be working for them.
That thing on his head makes him invisible to me?
And keeps him safe from those monsters with him.
Behind him, Hap looked like crap. His robe was dirty and torn in several places, his hair an uncombed mess, streaks of what looked like dried blood smeared across his face. He glared at Alibi. Alibi broke off his stare to take in the woman and man with him. Also dressed in disheveled cult robes, they stared hollow-eyed back at Alibi.
"Hello again, Alibi," Hap said.
The pressure on Alibi's temples increased. He focused and kept them at bay for the moment with his lowest level of mental shielding, not wanting to yet reveal his own greater capabilities.
"Justin Spears, meet Alibi Jones," Hap said to the shorter man.
Justin Spears, do I know you? Alibi said. That name is kind of familiar.
Edwards. He mentioned Spears. Why?
Oh yeah. He works for Nico Constantine. Said he might be able to help me with him. I don't think he's here to help me.
You might know me, Spears said. I knew your father. He ruined my father.
He was an assassin, Alibi said. He ruined a lot of people. One of the reasons I don't use his last name.
Oh, he didn't kill my father, Spears said. That would have been too quick. No. He had to fuck up an election he was working on. Made father look like a fool.
I'm sorry he did that, Alibi said. My father paid for that, and a lot of other things. I watched my mother kill him for it all when I was 3. She was keen on dispensing justice herself. Just like her son there is behind you.
He may have paid, Spears said. You haven't.
Me? Why? What did I ever do to you, Justin?
Personally? Endangered my life and job security once or twice, Spears said.
Getting away from my people when you shouldn't have? That happened.
I also suffered as a kid because of what your father did to my father. And, at the same time, watching you grow up, shining beacon of happiness as the foster son of the ruler of the Solar Alliance, you had fucking everything. We were wiped out to almost nothing.
I was a kid who lost his parents, Justin. Father dead, mother in prison.
trying to make sense of what was a pretty fucked up world. Suffer? I wished my father was alive and my mother was sane. I might trade with you for your suffering with a living father and present mother.
How do you do it, though? Spears asked. You somehow manage to come out on top of things. Every fucking time. To think, I suggested you to Nico as an easy target.
You what? Alibi asked.
Nico needed an example. A rich kid getting away with shit, Spears said. You were perfect, Alibi.
Alibi stared at Spears, measuring the man.
I wonder if any of that is true. Something else I can thank BC for?
You really want me to believe you've been some kind of mastermind behind the scenes, making my life miserable, Alibi said. Spears grinned. He had very nice white teeth.
No, he said and laughed. If only. I just got the ball rolling by suggesting you that first time. I had no idea you were some kind of cosmic whack-a-mole. Nico got frustrated with you. He'd knock you down, but you kept popping back up.
It's a habit I have, Alibi said. I like breathing.
That's too bad, Spears said. He pulled out a blaster. I'm not here to keep you breathing.
Spears fired the blaster at Alibi. Alibi discovered he had stopped time. He stepped out of the blaster's line of fire. He let time begin again, and the shot missed him. He grabbed at the blaster with his mind and pulled it toward him. Whatever shielding made Spears invisible did not extend to the gun. It flew from Spears' hand and landed in Alibi's.
Up my shielding.
The pressure on his temples increased for a moment, then disappeared.
Oh, now, see? You used it, didn't you? Spears said. You managed to sneak the starseed out of my grasp and use the ancient enemy's transformational substance before I could.
Spears turned back to the trio in robes.
Okay, I tried, Spears said. Hap, kill him.
Hap strode forward, but he looked puzzled.
You're different, Hap said. Changed.
Is Ruth still alive? Alibi asked.
Yes, Hap said. She's back on Fortuna.
Did she have...
Alibi swallowed hard. He didn't like this.
Did she have your baby?
She did, but he is gone to be with the Lord, Hap said. Jesus and God called him home. He was too perfected to live on this plane of existence.
Oh, he didn't.
Did you give the baby some of the substance, Hap?
God told me to, Hap said, to perfect him. He did, madman.
I'm sorry to hear he's gone, Alibi said. Is Ruth okay?
She doesn't speak to me, really, Hap said.
Killing me isn't going to help you with her, you know, Alibi said.
Have some son's guilt, my brother.
Alibi thought-washed Hap with a wave of emotion, pure guilt, backing up his words with a sense of Hap letting Ruth down. Hap looked despondent,
almost like he might cry. A guilt wave. Didn't know I could do that. A thought wash.
You will discover your own metaphors.
Are you going to kill him? Spears asked Hap. Why haven't you killed him?
I don't think I can, Hap said.
You can't? Spears said. Or you won't?
He's my brother, Hap said. If I kill him, our mom will kill me.
Spears' head whipped around from Hap to stare at Alibi.
What did you do to him?
I just asked him how mom was, Alibi said, with a shrug.
You're both idiots, Spears said, frustrated.
He looked at the blaster in Alibi's hand with longing.
Why are you here, Justin? Alibi asked.
Spears laughed.
A few reasons, really, Spears said. I did want that starseed. To finally get it in my grasp and find it had been emptied.
By you? That was both insult and injury. Stupid woman had to die. At least you got laid, though, hey, Jones? Heard that's how she got it. All this, Alibi asked, just to get the starseed. Well, and to kill you, of course, Spears said. Of course, Alibi said, with due sarcasm. Idiot, Spears said. I didn't want to miss my chance.
What?
You have no idea what you're walking into, do you? Spears said. Or should I say, flying into. You gave them the golden opportunity. The Greater Ta, the Shen Ta, they couldn't get at you with their oversized war machines. Not when you're surrounded by asteroids. But what do? Decide to get out from inside your cover? Brilliant. Spears shook his head. Idiot, he repeated. We haven't picked up anything, Alibi said. You know what the Greater Ta are really good at? Spears said. He pointed to the circlet on his head. Shielding.
Oh, shit.
You're bluffing, Alibi said. There's no one out there. Keep believing that, Spears said, and fly these good people right on into their line of fire.
Let's say they are out there, Alibi said.
What? They let you come in ahead as what? An advanced scout? Pulled some favors, Spears said. Wanted a chance to kill you. Before you killed yourself.
I could reach out and check for those forces with my mind, but that would make me vulnerable. Nope, not doing that. Not yet, anyway. Could they really be waiting for us out there? Maybe we can park in place and keep deflecting rocks for the time being. If I can get out of this alive. And maybe he's just bluffing.
That was Chapter 80 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. So, the Greater Ta are waiting for them. Just waiting for them to move themselves outside of the asteroids. Supposedly. That's what Justin Spears just said. Let's see if he's bluffing, I guess, as we get into our next episode. You'll have to come back for Chapter 81 and a couple more next time around on Glow in the Dark Radio. And again, big news this week as far as Vatican Assassin goes. Two new editions coming for the 15th anniversary. A new print edition with illustrations by Federico Guillen. A new cover that's going to be on both editions, done by Federico. And a new audiobook featuring cameo voice acting. Voice parts by Scott Sigler, Starla Hutchison, Veronica Jaguar, Dave Robeson, Keith Hughes, John Moreau, and Polly Cooley. And if you want more details, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. Or become a patron at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That's all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.